As an NFL player, you never want to see anyone on the field injured. And defensive coordinator Ray Horton explains how he coaches his players to tackle the proper way.
Good. I'd like to start off just by saying from our defense, I know for sure, and our organization, we're happy that Jermichael Finley's out of the hospital and doing better. And you don't like to see good players. You don't like to see anybody hurt, but good players, you like to see them compete and play and do what they do. And it's just one of those unfortunate parts of the game that everybody accepts and you move on. But we just wish them well.
Since we're on that subject, Ray, has it gotten tougher to kind of coach that? And, you know, there seems to be some ambiguity as to what is a legal hit and what's not. And is that difficult on a week-to-week basis?
No, it's not difficult to coach because, you know, we coach don't launch. Don't hit a guy in the head. And those are supposed to be okay hits. So that's what we coach. That's what we teach. And we don't want our guy hurt or we don't want their guy hurt. So it's easy to coach, but it's hard to officiate because they're so bang-bang and they're doing it from 27 and a half yards away because they're on the sideline and it's happening usually in the middle of the field. So they're hard to officiate. And you just go on and you hope neither guy gets hurt. But they're easy to coach.
Your point of view, was there anything wrong with that hit?
No, it was shoulder to shoulder, and again, we just keep saying it's unfortunate that he was hurt, and it was unfortunate that there was a penalty call, but we accept it. You know, it's hard to call from 27 yards away.
Is there a vindication when he does not get fined? He did not get fined.
Is there vindication?
That he didn't do anything.
It just teaches that we're teaching it. Vindicates, I guess, it validates that we're coaching the right way, that it's a physical game. Everybody knows that. And if you do it properly, you can play football in today's NFL. So, and that's what we coach, and that's what we're trying to do. We are trying to be tough. We're trying to hit people. We're trying to get them off the ball, but we don't want anybody injured.
Conversation. I mean, Tosh on yesterday said I can reach out and touch him, but he said I might be cut next year.
So yeah, he would be.
Is it tough to coach? I mean, these guys, this is their livelihood. I mean,
it is.
I mean, so you have to play over the edge, don't you, at times?
No, not over the edge, to the edge. To the edge. It is. Back even when I was playing, we just said it's Roman gladiators. That's what it is. But, you know, you're in an arena, and it's not a battle to the death, but it's a physical ordeal that you go out, and really the idea is to stop the other guy the best that you can. Now, there's rules. You can no longer hit guys in the head. We understand that, so we teach a different brand of hitting, and still same effect. And Tayshaun's play is a perfect example of you can do that. You can hit a guy as hard as you can and do it legally, and that's what we teach. So our guys understand you can't leave your feet and go to the guy's head, and we don't teach that.
Changing the subject, you guys are ranked 7th overall defensively,
mm-hmm.
but 29th on third down and 29th
mm-hmm.
in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that say about how your defense is really playing?
It would say and there's no question. I look at that, and this is going to be a reoccurring theme. I'll start addressing this when I first sit down. It's a reoccurring theme, and what it says is if we were average on third down, we'd be the number 2 team in the league probably. And if we were in top 10, we'd be the number 1 team in the league. So I stress it to our guys all the time. Third down is what's going to put us in the top 2 in the league. It's going to mean turnovers, and it's going to mean stops, it's going to mean getting off the field, and it's going to mean non-scoring opportunity. So that is one of my main statistical categories. There's 7 of them, and that's one of them that we're deficient in. So what it means is we're really good, and I've looked at every single one of them, as I said, a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and some of them were our mental mistakes. Some of them are penalties. Tayshaun's play may have been a third down, I'm not sure. And some of them they make. So if we can eliminate 2/3 of those, which only 1/3 of those we control, our mistakes, we'll be a top 14 team right there on third down just by eliminating 2/3 of it, which we control only 1/3 of it.
And in the red zone, is that I just think that just goes hand in hand.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of opportunities down there. That's probably the easiest one to fix because we haven't been down there that often.
Wait, does your defense need to create more turnovers to be the elite one you want it to be?
Mm-hmm. There's two things, turnovers, and that is, as I said, probably when I first met you guys, is that that's the number one statistical indicator of getting into the playoffs, turnover ratio. But it involves all three parts of the team. And right now, Kansas City Chiefs are plus 12. I mean, there's no mystery. There's no secret. That's the biggest determining factor of getting in the playoff year in and year out for probably the last 20 years.
Do you think you guys miss chances for them, or they just the chances haven't occurred, or how do you go about creating more chances for turnovers?
We're not deficient in it, but we're not leading the league in it either. They come. They're cyclical, I think. You get them by hitting and putting the ball on the ground like there was in the play in Green Bay. Tips and overthrows and sacks and fumbles. It's a team effort.
The last two quarterbacks have been great at releasing the ball quickly. And mm-hmm. Any good coordinator will look at what uh-huh. they've done to you. Mm-hmm. How do you be effective in spite of that?
There is no question I've called a different game plan for 2 weeks.
Tried to play coverage
and mix it up. Mm-hmm. There are certain quarterbacks in the league that are special. I mean, that are and I went back with Aaron Rodgers. I had a little history with him from the Super Bowl of him beating the Pittsburgh Steelers because he got rid of the ball so fast. But sometimes there are shorter throws, and you change things up on guys and give them different looks. And we've been evolving as a defense, and I like where we're headed. I think there's very, very good defensive football ahead of us.
Do you find that a quarterback can either do that or he can't? So if a guy's not adept at it, they're not going to look at your defense and say, hey, let's just three-step them.
Yeah, different guys have different philosophies, and usually you are what you are. It's in your DNA. It's in the coordinator's DNA. And some of that is from the quarterback and what their philosophy is. We do things here that try to give us the best opportunity to win. And I believe somewhere in the middle of the fourth quarter-ish, I think the score was 17-6, and with a chance to win. And there was a big play that involved a hit and a potential fumble that kind of swung the momentum of the game. So, you know, late in the fourth quarter, we had a chance to make a big play, and we tried to.
Ray, I know that sacks are just one way you look at pressure.
Yep.
Are you getting pressure on your quarterbacks?
I think so. I think if you take out Kansas City, who had a phenomenal one game against the Oakland Raiders with 10 sacks, it would put them at somewhere in the mid-20s. And I believe we're probably at 18, 19. And we've had opportunities to get more, so you know, those things, you are where you're sitting at, but we're pretty close to mid-20s in sacks. And with the exception of one team that had a phenomenal game, everybody's right at 24 is second place. And I think we're probably six off of second place.
How about when you, again, they talk about hits, pressures, et cetera, can you tell, like, how much pressure you've been getting lately on your quarterback?
Yeah, no, there's no question. There's hits on there. And, again, for 2 weeks in a row, I've called a different game plan.
Because you bring everybody,
mm-hmm.
they get rid of it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think the last two times I've blitzed a corner, he's got a sack. And I haven't blitzed him that much. It's as you go into a game for me, I think the biggest responsibility of a defense is keep the game close. It's hard for us to score, so you keep it close. And, again, do I want better in the fourth quarter? Yeah, I do. And that's been really the biggest disappointment to me is the last 2 weeks, whether it was Detroit where we had the lead or Green Bay in the fourth quarter when the game was a potential, you know, 8-point, 9-point game, we didn't stomp them there at the end.
Wait, Alex Smith has 43 runs. Are those how much are planned, how much are just escape?
I'd say probably a third are planned with the read option, with boots, with quarterback keeps. And he's, you know, he's an athletic quarterback. We don't play Michael Vick, but when you look at it, he's got 218 yards rushing with a 5.1 average, which is tops on their team. And he's very athletic. He likes to run with the ball. He did in college. He did at San Francisco. He's one of the unique quarterbacks that doesn't often slide. He will just run. And he jumps over guys. And I think they're very comfortable with him running or throwing because he makes good decisions. So he's a challenge. And I'm sure if you go back to look at the Minnesota, Christian Ponder hurt us with running. We knew he was a scrambling quarterback. So we've got to account for Alex.
Why so many, seven, 8 weeks into the season, why so many quarterbacks have, I think the league's on his 45th quarterback already this year?
It's a, yeah. It, you know, when we first came here in June, maybe, we talked about the read option of these quarterbacks. And I stated, you got to hit the guy. And they're not used to getting hit, and they're in, you know, unusual and sometimes awkward positions. It is violent. It's as you look around, there's attrition all through the league, and these guys are not used to getting hit. Now, Bradford's was an unusual thing. I'm not sure who else is out right now, but, you know, even Brian Hoyer's was an unusual kind of awkward hit. But it happens, and I've talked about depth on our team, and you got to have quarterbacks that can play. And I don't think there are more running quarterbacks, but I think as you get out, if you don't get down, guys are hitting you.
So to follow up on that, beyond the injury, let's talk about the ineffectiveness. In this league right now, has the defense been as complicated as they've been for young quarterbacks coming into the league? There's so much talk about there's so many good young quarterbacks qualified to come into the league,
yeah.
More so than ever. But is it also more difficult to read the defenses?
I think it's different. It's definitely different from college because of what they face all the time with the spread. We don't get a ton of spread. It is different. There's more younger quarterbacks playing, and they're evolving. And I think a big part of it is when you expose them to runs, that's where most of them are getting hurt, are out of the pocket, because the league protects them as much as they can in the pocket. And when you get outside on the fringe, there's high-speed movement coming, and guys are trying to hit you.
I asked you about creating turnovers. How hard does Alex Smith make that? You mentioned his.
He's got 4 interceptions, and for him having fumbles, he doesn't lead the team in fumbles. So there's other ways to affect the game. There's sacks, and there's punts, and there's field position swings. And there's certain quarterbacks are more prone to throw interceptions. He is not, and we understand that. They're plus 12. So we understand it's not going to be a turnover fest in the game. And we've got to make sure that the biggest probably momentum change will be punts, which punter is better to punt the ball down the field. And this is not a game where if you think you're going to get 4 turnovers in the game, they don't do that. They're not that type of team.
Mark Kivis, halfway through his rookie year. Where's he at now?
Really, I think if you ask me whatever November, whatever Thanksgiving weekend is, I think he'll be better than he is now. He's better now than he was at the start of the season because he's starting to see more things. And, you know, he's making his rookie mistakes, which is okay because there's mistakes in the game. But I think this next 4-week period for us, you'll see a kind of a different Cleveland Browns defense, and you'll start seeing the names that everybody thought. But I like where we're sitting at right now. And I think, again, at Thanksgiving, when we sit in here, you'll say, wow, you were probably right in what you said back there about getting better.
What makes Jamal Charles
difficult
to
defend? He's probably pound for pound the best running back in the league. I mean, there's a lot of special guys in the league. Adrian's a bigger guy, Peterson, but Jamal leads our team in receptions, yardage, scrimmage, runs, yards from scrimmage, catches, all these things. He's a 200-pound back. He's not a dynamic, you know, jump cutter, but he's so silky smooth, and you can't get the guy down. You don't get great shots on the guy, and he's in there every down, and he's a workhorse, and I think it comes back for him. I don't know him. It's probably one of those X factors of intangible. He's got heart and probably will to be good.
Why are you so confident the defense will be where you want it to be Thanksgiving?
Because I know how I call a game and why I call a game, and I know what my vision is and where we're at on the field and in the classroom, and I just think you'll see a different Cleveland Brown defense moving forward.
Thanks, Ray.